Amen. Well, good morning, church. So good to be with everybody. Give everybody a quick Merry Christmas. All right. Awesome. You can go ahead and have a seat. As we do get ready to close the year, I want to just personally invite you to be praying for us as a fellowship and for the changes that are happening. I know that many people don't like change, okay? But it's one of those things that, you know, our desire is to be the best that we can. And I will be very transparent with you. This last year and almost a year and a half of us doing three services on Sunday morning has been a lot. You guys get the blessing of coming at 8 and leaving at 9:30. And so for the last year and a half, I'm so thankful for our staff. It's a big toll. Yes. All of our volunteers who come and faithfully serve and help take care of this place. And excuse me, especially those who are making the coffee. Praise the Lord. But this morning, I just want to encourage you, as you enjoy today's service, don't forget December 24th at the Dixie Center at 6 p.m. We'll be having our community service. And so bring your family on out, and we would love to have you there. And we get to worship the Lord and share the gospel with our community. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, this morning, I was told I only got 20 minutes. Impossible. Not impossible, but I don't want to go only 20 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. But today is going to be a short, Lord willing, encouragement, keeping the Christmas story alive and something that we're never going to turn away from. Just as the gospel never changes, neither does the Christmas story. And it's so good for us to kind of be reminded of what this day is all about. So I want to invite you, please open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. We're going to cover the first 12 verses. And before we actually jump in on behalf of, or if you do need a Bible, please raise your hand so our ushers can get you one and you can follow along with us. And if you do not have one personally, you can have that one as a gift. And the reason for the shorter message today is because after the service over in the West Commons area, we're going to have hot chocolate and some cookies. So I want to invite you to fellowship, to hang out with one another. But on behalf of Marisa and I, and as well as the staff, we just want to wish all of you a Merry Christmas if we don't see you on Tuesday evening at the Dixie Center. So Merry Christmas, everyone. All right. If you can, please stand. Beginning in verse 1, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Father, we thank you again for this time. Thank you that we have the freedom to open up your living word. And I'm thankful as I stand here with my brothers and sisters, Lord, for many of us in this place, Lord, you have touched our hearts. You have drawn us to the truth and illuminated the darkness around us to help us see the true light, which is you. That you pulled us out of the pits that we've been in. And we now get the blessing of walking with you. As you are that light, as you have given us an amazing gift called everlasting life, the gift of salvation, we are now along with you that light. And I pray that we would shine in this important hour in our world. So may we come before you, celebrating this day, thanking you for your goodness and love, and remembering this amazing day that you came into this world. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So as we go through this portion of scripture, we discover that Jesus was already born. Some time has passed. We don't know exactly how much time, but Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus are no longer in a cave. Can we say praise God for that, right? When you think of Jesus and him coming into this world, beloved, do you realize that we came into this world in a lot better conditions than he did? And so no longer are they in a cave. And Matthew reveals to us at this particular time that Herod the Great was king, and he was not the rightful king, but the king over the Jews that was appointed by the Roman emperor. And of course, history tells us that Herod the Great was not a really good king. He was not a Jew, but he was also a very cruel man. And we won't go into all the details, but not only does Matthew reveal who's over the Jewish people, he also introduces us to some wise men who came from the east. And they showed up to Jerusalem, which was at that moment the center of all things, the center of worship where God's temple was. Some other Bible translations may use the word magi. But tradition tells us that these wise men were from Parthia, which is a province in Babylonia. It is believed that these men were very wealthy, men who had high positions, men who were students of astrology and studied ancient manuscripts. I mean, these guys were pretty intelligent. And some also believe that they practiced sorcery or magic. But based upon this description of what history tells us, and also reading this passage, I'm led to believe that these wise men that are here in this portion of scripture relate to the first two. Those who studied the stars and also studied manuscripts, the old writings. And so not only do we see that these men arrived in Jerusalem, but notice again what they asked. Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Now notice this. For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And I love this. Their study of the scriptures turned into action. Can I encourage us this morning? We don't come here just to study, to have head knowledge. What is so important is that we take in what God has given us as he is our teacher, that we live out the truth that he's teaching us. It is so important. If you ever want to experience the fullness of a relationship with God, you need to apply the very things that he is commanding us and teaching us in his word. And there's a specific reason for that as we get to this later in the scriptures. But what's interesting is in the same way that God used an angel to communicate to shepherds about Jesus' birth, here now God is choosing to use a star in the sky to get these wise men attention. Okay? And so these men were willing to, listen, travel a great distance. Listen, you know when you're a Utahian? When you say, there's a lot of traffic here in St. George. You're an official Utahian. This is nothing compared to California. And the reality is these guys were willing to travel some 800 plus miles. And not only was this a great distance, but they would have to have months of preparation for a trip like this. When it comes to animals, food, water, servants, listen, these guys were wise enough to know we're not going to make this trip alone. Okay, whatever the Hallmark cards you purchase and they only have the three wise men. Okay, please understand that's Hallmark version. Scriptures tell us that these men traveled a great distance, and if they, again, according to tradition, were wealthy and didn't travel just by themselves, they had all the preparations they needed, and there was a big caravan. And not only a big caravan, but they came bearing gifts that were worthy of a king. And so what I don't want us to kind of, you know, get, I'm not here to be, you know, a Christmas Scrooge, but, you know, because of what the Word of God says, we really don't know how many wise men there were. So when you go out and buy a nativity scene, don't get upset because they got wise men there. Okay, just take them out and put them somewhere else in the house. Okay, and just make it biblical. Okay, and so there's nothing wrong with having it. I have one at home, and Marisa actually moved them away. So I'm like, okay, whatever, doesn't matter. I'm not going to get all bent out of shape. What else do we know about these guys? They were willing to leave their comforts. They were willing to leave those things that they were accustomed to, their food, their maybe favorite restaurant. You know, maybe it was what they normally would do on a Sunday afternoon. I don't know. But they were willing to leave all of that. They were willing to use their own resources, and they were willing to give up their time for several months. Some believe that this great distance, this travel time, would have taken anywhere between 1 to 2 years. This is how committed these men were from studying the scriptures and wanting to go and seek and find out whether or not what they read was true. And I want you to know this. What is amazing is, again, what they said: we have come to worship the one who is born King of the Jews. They got it. They understood what the scriptures meant, and the star that is mentioned here in this verse is referring to a prophecy that was given by Balaam of the coming Messiah in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. They understood the scriptures, and they were on a mission. And again, from a star, they focused in, whether it was out of place, whether it was shining brighter than any others. But I believe it was God who was directing them. God who was opening up their eyes to notice this particular star. And sure enough, it also says what their goal was. When they would arrive and they would find this king, what was the purpose of their journey? To worship him. I love that. To worship him. Now, I know this time change may get little people off routine, might interfere with your comforts, but are you willing to make some commitment and willing to remember that when we come here, it's because we come to worship, not because it's convenient, not because, well, you know, Pastor Jerry just purchased 3-hour chairs and I'm really comfortable. It's not because of the coffee, though it's good. I hope and pray that when we come to worship. Come on now, we got to come here for the right reason. There is no other reason that we are here other than Jesus. Okay? And so they were wanting to worship and pay homage to the rightful king. And notice what takes place in verse 3. And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now notice this. He was troubled. This appointed king, who wasn't the rightful king, was disturbed at this news, just like any other king would be, knowing that his kingdom was, you know, his throne was a threat to, you know, somebody else is trying to move in and his territory. For the people, it may have caused up some stirring in their hearts because, beloved, if you don't know this, before Christ was born, there was a period of 400 years of silence where God was not speaking to his people. How many of you like silence? Depends how old we are. Some of us are like, yes, peace and quiet. How about, do you like silence when you're praying for something? How many of you are very patient people? God help us with that one. But we want everything now and faster and quicker. And yet, can you imagine all the prayers that went up in that 400 years of silence and not hearing anything? So for them to hear this big old caravan of people saying, "Hey, we saw this star. Where is the King of the Jews?" had to stir up. And sure enough, the word began to spread. It spread enough for Herod to hear it. So what did he do? Notice this. Notice verse 4 through verse 8. "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And so they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophets, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who shall," who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." And so I want you to notice this. What did Herod do when he heard this troubling news? Well, the first thing he did was gather all the religious leaders. But I want you to notice this. He gathered all the religious leaders of the people, not his. He wasn't a part of that stuff, but he sure threatened by it. And isn't it amazing how much hatred sometimes people have toward Jesus? How much hostility they have toward him, and yet they don't even know him. And here Herod is gathering the religious leaders of the people for what reason? To inquire. I need to know. What are these guys talking about? Where is this king that is supposed to be born? Even as a baby, Jesus was a threat to him. And of course, for the religious leaders, notice this, they answered him really quickly. They didn't say, "Let me get back to you." They knew the answer. They knew it quickly. And they pointed Herod to the scriptures, to the prophet of Micah. This is what we read. "But you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel." This was given to the people, God's people, to let them know where their Messiah would be born. They had the answer. They had the scriptures. But what is sad is instead of going to see if the Christ, their king, had been born, notice this, they ignored the news and the scriptures. You see, what's sad about this is their study of the scriptures did not turn into action. It's as if they sat there, heard the word, and decided not to do anything with the word. And here, these foreigners come in, reminding them of their scriptures, reminding them of the prophecies, and yet they still chose to do nothing with it. It's pretty sad, isn't it? But notice what happens. What else does Herod do? Verse 7. He met with these wise men secretly, privately. For what reason? Before I give you some information, I want some information from you. He inquired about what they knew. When did this star appear before you? I want to know, when did this star appear? And of course, because these wise men were unaware of Herod's motives, the wise men tell him everything. So now Herod not only has a location, but he has a rough estimate of time of how old this child is. And so what does he do? He sent them to Bethlehem as if he was sending them on a private special mission. "Hey, fellas, come on over here. This is what I want you to do. I want you to go to Bethlehem. And he says, I want you to search carefully. Did you notice that? I want you to search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me. Don't tell anybody else. Just come let me know. Give me word. Now notice this, that I may come and worship too. Now, if we didn't have the rest of the scriptures and the account of history, listen, what we just read sounds really good, doesn't it? Sounds sincere. But we know better. We have the scriptures. Herod never planned to go and worship Jesus. His plan was to destroy him, to take him out. He wasn't looking to go and worship the rightful king. He knew that Jesus was a threat. So now he knows an exact location. He knows roughly how old this child is, but now he wants a little bit more. You know what? As a matter of fact, save me the hard work. Go find him and then bring back word to me, and then I will go and worship him. His word worship had a whole different meaning, didn't it? Now let's pick up in verse 9 to 12. When they had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened, had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. And so as we get ready to finish this portion of scripture and the passage that we have before us today, listen, after this private meeting, these wise men leave Jerusalem. They depart from there. And the moment they leave, Matthew reveals that the star that they had been captivated by, the star that was guiding them to where they were at, reappeared. And not only did it reappear, but it would lead them to a specific house in Bethlehem. And I'm just throwing this out there, man. It must have been an amazing sight. How many of you throughout this season maybe get in your car and download the layout of all the Christmas lights that are in our town? How many of you do that? All right? We're starting to do that as a tradition. I borrow the church van and I load up all my grandkids. We go buy some hot chocolate. But as many houses as we see, for me, the ones that shine the brightest, the ones that catch my eye, are the ones that have the nativity scene. When I see that, I don't see anything else. I don't look for the Grinch. I don't look for the leg and the lamp, the you know, Christmas story lampstand with the leg. I don't look for Santa. I don't look for reindeers. Although what's pretty funny is there was this one house that was lit up amazingly everywhere. And then the house, poor house next to it, just had a little sign with the word that said ditto, and it lit up. That was pretty ingenious. But the point is, out of all those lights, that's what catches my attention. And why is that? Because that's what matters most to my heart. It's understanding and knowing what this day meant. And for these wise men, when this star appeared, I want you to notice this. When they saw this star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. They were filled, overflowing, smiling from one ear to another, full of peace, full of excitement. This star led them to the true light. It led them to Jesus. And as they entered this house, notice the joy and the expression, because when they entered the house, once again, they saw the true light of the world. And they fell face down to the ground in reverence, in adoration, and in humble submission. This is the most amazing picture that I walk away with from this. Their actions acknowledging who the true King is. And I want you to grasp this, because here is a promise from God that I don't want us to miss. And what is that? When you seek Him with all of your heart, you will find Him. That's a promise. And these men were willing to travel in the middle of darkness, a long distance, and even showing up to Jerusalem, where they probably would imagine everybody had already had the news. Can you imagine how discouraged that must have been, showing up and then for the first time people hearing, "Where is the King of the Jews?" Did I misread? Did I misinterpret the stars? They weren't discouraged. Can you imagine going into Bethlehem after leaving the temple of God, knowing that the King of the Jews was coming into this world, and now it's maybe pointing in on a little shack? Weren't discouraged about that. But yet their hearts were filled because they were able to see. Their hearts were opened. And as they saw Jesus, I want you to notice this. These wise men not only bowed down, but here is where they gave gifts. They opened up their treasures, and all of the gifts that were represented or given represented who Jesus really is. The gold representing the royalty or His kingship. Where do we see that in the scriptures? Revelation chapter 19, verse 16, that Jesus is the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. The frankincense would be, you know, used inside the temple as the priests would burn on the incense of altars and pray. This would become a sweet smelling aroma to God. So what does that represent about Jesus? That His life, everything about Him was a sweet smelling aroma to God, even His sacrifice on the cross. John chapter 1, verse 29, and John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 tells us that we've received this amazing gift. The myrrh would represent the point of His suffering and His death. Just read Isaiah chapter 53. All of these gifts meant something. And as they presented them to Jesus, out of all these gifts that were given, I believe the greatest gift given was not the gifts that were presented, but it was the surrendering of their hearts. It was the beautiful demonstration of worship in that humble submission. Listen, I want you to grasp this. Here, these men who were of wealth, who were of high position, bowing down before this child. And what caused them? Because they realized that their wealth, their position didn't matter. But what mattered was who was in front of them. They were there acknowledging the true and rightful King. The King that was born. The King that would become the Savior of the world. You see, their worship, again, acknowledged the truth of the scriptures. Jesus is the King of all kings. He was the child that came into this world that would be our great counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace. Their worship, they gave the most valuable thing, and it wasn't the gold, the frankincense, or the myrrh. It was their hearts. And the beauty of giving all of this unto the Lord in true acts of worship, what is the outcome? These wise men left Bethlehem changed. not the same as they entered that house. They left changed. And notice with me verse 12, that after worshiping Jesus, God warned them, don't go back to Herod. God knew how wicked Herod was. And God changed their direction. And they went home another way. And so, beloved, what is our takeaway today? What is it that I want to encourage us with? Because as we get ready to celebrate Christmas, I hope and pray that we would remember Christmas is the greatest day ever recorded in history. That it is the day that God came into this world. It is that out of love for all of humanity, that God would take upon flesh, that he would come into this world as a baby. And not only as a baby, and not only on this one day, but I want you to think of this, the impact that God had when he entered into this world. Because from that point on, the world has never been the same. What I love about Christmas that I want us to hold on to and never let go of, it is all about Christ. It's okay to have your traditions. Just don't let your traditions remove Jesus from being the center of attention. We as believers need to remember the beauty of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. God came as an infant. He didn't stay that way. He grew up. And in the next few months, we're going to be celebrating his death and his resurrection. Jesus came for a reason, and that was to seek and save the lost. I also pray that we would remember on this day that God gave us the greatest gift, and that is the gift of everlasting life. Just like any gift, in order to enjoy it, what must you do? You got to receive it. And once you receive it, you got to open it up. You know, I remember my dad, when we would celebrate Christmas and those times that he was with us, we would have a present for him and he would get it and then he would put it there and he would just sit there and watch everybody else. It's like, Dad, come on, open up your gift. I'll get to it. I'll get to it. It's like, if you have kids, that never happens. The moment they get, they're just, it doesn't even have to be theirs. They're ready to open up everything. When you receive this gift, you need to open it up. And when you open it up, that's when you can use it. You can take ownership in it. And it's the same thing with this gift called everlasting life. The moment we believe in Jesus' finished work on the cross, God made a promise all who would believe would receive this amazing gift, John 3:16 and 17. We would receive the gift of everlasting life that far outweighs any gift. Isn't it amazing? I'm pretty sure that there's a top 10 list for 2025 or 2024 for Christmas gifts. And I guarantee you it looks different than 2024 or 2023. And I guarantee you that list looks different than the one in 2022. Because every year there's got to be something bigger and better. But isn't it awesome to know that the greatest gift ever never fades away? It still keeps giving and giving, no matter how old you are. And the last thing I want us to remember is that this amazing gift, the reason Christmas is here, this amazing event that took place was never meant to be kept a secret. It was meant to be shared. It was meant to be heard by all. Just as the shepherds heard and saw Jesus, they would then go and share it with all others who would hear. And my challenge to us this year, celebrate him. Keep him the center of your Christmas celebration. But continue to celebrate. Continue to share of Jesus through the month of January, February, March, April, May, all throughout 2025. As many days as God will give us, let's let this world know what matters most. Because right now, there's something similar to the time of when Jesus came into this world. And what is it? There's still a lot of darkness. And there's still a lot of people who need the greatest gift ever, and that is Jesus. And if we as believers don't hang on to the truth of what Christmas is all about, beloved, the world will get darker. And I pray that this day, we as followers of Christ, remember God came. What was his mission? To seek and save the lost. And as those believe, receive this amazing gift of everlasting life. Isn't that awesome? And the other beautiful thing is we get to share it with other people. We get to pass it on. It's a gift that is meant to give away. So let's give out some Jesus this year. Come on now, right? Amen, amen. Listen, I want to invite the worship team to come on forward. What I want to do is I want to just prepare our hearts as we have this time of doing our candlelight service. And I want to walk us through this. I know what you're thinking. Come on, Pastor, it's battery operated. Don't look at the battery. Look at the significance of what we're doing. There's a meaning and a purpose behind this. And I want you to know that when we do this candlelight service, beloved, I want you to know this. It's to worship and to celebrate the true light. Just like these wise men did. John chapter 8, verse 12 tells us that Jesus himself said, I am the light of the world. And he who follows me will also become the light of the world. So this candlelight service, this simple illustration, is to remind us of something that is very powerful. And that is, just as Jesus came into this world, just as he said, I am the true light, we now have the ability to become light. And so I want to demonstrate this, and I want to ask that all of you would follow my lead. You guys willing to do that?
Yes.
Okay, so listen, if you have your candle, make sure it's not lit. You can just turn it, like Josh said, a little bit, and it'll come disconnected from the battery. But we're going to shut off all the lights, and we're going to continue, not turn them on, turn them off. But we're going to continue to let this illustration develop, and Lord willing, again, remind us of the most important thing ever, and that is Christmas is all about Jesus. Okay, so let's go ahead and shut off all the lights. All right, we're pretty good. Don't worry about the screen. It's all good. As I mentioned to you throughout the passage, and the day that we're celebrating of Jesus coming into this world, that he would literally, through his life, through his ministry, through his mission, 400 years of silence, and he became that light in a dark place. And as Jesus shared of the kingdom of God, what took place? People began to believe. And when people began to believe, what one little light was able to do in illuminating the darkness, as he called people to follow him, and as they believed, then they became a light. And as they shared their faith, their love for Jesus, they became a light. And as this continued to happen, the world that was filled with darkness became brighter and brighter. And what I love about this service is that you and I are the fruit of faithful men and women who have shared the gospel over time and have then made the world a brighter place. And this is why the Christmas story was never meant to be kept a secret. It's meant for us to share so that our light will continue to brighten the darkness, to expose the darkness that is around us. And the more of us who live for Jesus, the more our world will shine. Can I get an amen for that?
Amen.
Amen. Worship team.